you just, see how I lose my words?
No, I haven't noticed.
Yeah, I get stuck for a word and then I'm done.
I really haven't noticed.
No. And I see you looking at me and then I can't think of what the hell I was.
But it always comes back again.
Later on, maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe on your way home.
Listen, wait till you get to be as old as me, right? Then
yeah,
you'll know.
Exactly,
okay.
Yeah.
And then.
Well, I'm pushing 89.
Well, my dad's 80, it'd be 87 this year. Mm-hmm. So great Packers fan, loves baseball. But he said he saw his last game last year. He doesn't ever want to go again. So 41 then, okay, you caught 120 games.
Yeah.
That year. Which, and then Phil, that's when Babe Dahlgren was
there for a while, and then Buddy Hassett was there. And I got married in 1940.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Ah. Okay. Now, an old sweetheart, or was that somebody who had just...
Yeah. Known each other, families known each other for years.
Is that right? Yes.
My wife is not like me. She's very, very quiet. Very quiet. Yeah. In her mannerisms and everything.
Yeah.
A lot of people hit baseball for a long while mistook her for, so you're scared to death, you know.
Ah. Well, it had to be, you know, because being married to a ball player has got to be tough sometimes.
Oh, yes, but she understood the thing and never once did she ever complain.
Is that right?
Never once.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Never.
So that, and then, so 41, you caught 120 games. How'd you end up in with the Giants then?
That's what I wanted to
know. Here you are.
They sold me to the Giants and Bill Terry because of my handling of the pitchers. Like that year I caught Salvo, I think, 5 shutouts.
Wow.
And today you don't even see 5 complete games.
That's right.
I must tell you something,
the
complete game thing.
Yeah.
In 1954, the Cleveland Ball Club pitched a total of 77 complete games.
Yes, and that's...
No, you don't get 70.
No, it's a thing of the
past. Of course,
past.
You had some terrific pitchers.
Oh, yeah.
And we even at Chicago had a bunch of, you know, complete games.
Yeah.
And we didn't have the run-producing club. But I don't know what it is, why it is.
It's everybody's a specialist.
Yeah.
A ninth-inning specialist or get-out-one right-handed batter specialist. And.
It's a joke.
Well, now that's okay. So, so 40, you were several years with the Giants.
Well, you're talking about how I got over there.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, Terry bought me. He was general manager for the Giants.
Yeah.
And he wanted me to go to Jersey City to handle the pitching over there. They had some young pitchers because, you know, I had a pretty good reputation established about that time. Or so somebody thought.
You had fooled a lot of people,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, really. And I wouldn't go. I said, no. I quit before. Now I'm going back again, you know. I said, what the hell? And so I was in Florida at the time when my wife and I were spending the winter in Florida. And that's when I got news of going to the Giants.
Yeah.
And the club, the Jersey City club, was training at Jacksonville, and Terry, being the head of the farm system and everything, he headquartered there. So he called me up and asked me to come up and talk things over with him. And first thing I walked in the room, he got mad. And I said, Bill, don't get mad. I said, you would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
I says, knowing you, you would have done the same thing. He said, why don't you want to go? I says, I'd only be busting my butt off again trying to get back to the big leagues, and I wouldn't have a chance. I says, I've got a chance to go home and start a new life, start another job where I might have a little future.
Mm-hmm.
He said, apparently my future is over with here. Anyhow, during the course of the conversation, he said, you don't hit that horse hide hard enough to talk to me like that. I says, that's just the thing. I have never hit the horse hide well enough to ever get established in this business. I'm young enough to maybe start out on something different. I'm going to give it a try. And he sat back. He could stare at you and, geez, you want to cry.
Is that right?
Yeah, you're one of those people.
Yeah.
And finally he says, if I do one thing, will you do another? I says, well, what is it? He says, if I promise you that I will take you back and put you on the big league roster at New York,
mm-hmm.
I says, for the full year, I'm listening. Not to come back and go.
Right.
And he says, no, for the full year. So I said, I'm listening. He said, will you go to spring training at Jersey City? And they had a guy there, Snyder. Oh, he was a rough, tough.
Frank Snyder?
Frank, oh, a rough, tough.
He was a catcher, too.
Yeah, rough, yeah. Tough, gruff coach and manager. Gee. Well, then I said, oh, this ought to be fun. Stengel again. Trish Stengel now. Now Snyder. So I says, okay, I'll do that. And he put my wife up at the hotel and paid her expenses.
Yeah.
And she was quite a golfer in those days. And so she could play golf every day. And
mm-hmm.
then she had a schedule where we'd meet at the end of the day and have our dinner together. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Anyhow, now it's time to go back for Terry to send me back to New York. So he tells Snyder, he says, I'm taking Ray back to the big club. And he says, you knew that all the time. And now he was mad at Bill. And now he's doubly mad at me for not saying anything.
You can't win.
Anyway, I heard it out of the clubhouse and got in Bill's car. And wife and I, and we all went down to join the big club. But,
well, you were just doing what you agreed to do.
Yeah.
Now, you were there several
4 years.
During the war. Yeah.
4 years.
What was it like during the war? Spring. Now, where did you do spring training during the war years?
In Rockefeller's home in Jersey.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right where the Zaf Greffelin dropped, right
no
in that
kidding.
Area.
No kidding. Yeah. Lakehurst.
Lakehurst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be darned. And that, and then you caught
a
little bit.
I knew then that I was, you know. What my situation was there.
But you were being prepared to coach, though.
Yeah.
You,
no, I...
You didn't think about
action.
Coaching then?
No.
Huh.
I thought I'd like to.
Yeah.
It never occurred to me. Never occurred. It's just something that happened. It happened as a result of Billy...
Yeah.
What the hell was his name? The catcher?
Oh, the...
I just told you about...
Oh, Snyder?
No, no, not Snyder, but, oh,
it'll pop
Crandall.
Out. Del Crandall.
See,
no kidding, is that right?
See?
Yeah.
And Billy, and going back to Boston in 47, what happened was, I was at New York for the four years.
Yeah.
And then I went to Cuba, caught a ball game in Pittsburgh, and one of the things that Mel says, don't you let Salkell hit a fastball, because he says, if you do, it'll be up in the seats. Anyhow, we're going along pretty good. We brought in Ace Adams to save the game, that, like they did all the time.
Yeah.
He was a fastball pitcher, but he had a pretty good slider.
Mm-hmm.
I come down with the slider, and he wouldn't throw it. I come down with the slider sign again, he wouldn't throw it, and I finally went out to, after four or five times,
yeah.
I went out and I said, hey, it's not me in this situation, it's Mel.
Yeah.
He says, he wants him to hit a breaking ball. He says, I pitch my own game when I come out here. Damn, you don't throw him a fastball and up in the seats, it goes.
Geez.
And when we got in the locker, Mel didn't say anything to me, but I could hear him back in the room where he was, and he told Lukey, he says, that's the last game he'll ever catch from me.
Is that right?
So I heard that.
For you, he blamed you for that?
He could
see that you've been shaken off, though, couldn't he?
No. He wasn't sure of that.
See,
but anyhow, and that's the one thing I got against Ace, he never stood up for me.
Is that raw?
He let me get far.
He'd let you take it. Yeah.
He let me take it. Anyhow, I was going, I knew. So, Lukey had the Cienfuegos Ball Club.
Yeah, Dolph Lukey.
In Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have a catcher. And he says, I'll give you so much if you go down and catch for me. I said, you're going to do to me like Mel did, and he laughed. He says, no. He says, that was wrong for him to say it, but Mel was mad, see. So I said, okay, I'll go. Geez, damn, if we don't win the pennant.
Hmm.
But to win the pennant, we had to go into a couple of extra days. In the meantime, Mel calls me in Cuba. Where in the hell are you? You didn't, he says, you didn't answer your contract or anything. I said, I never got a contract. See? And he says, well, I want you over here. I says, now you want me over here? I says, until how long? He said, well, until at least Cooper gets out, you know, the catcher.
Yeah, Walker Cooper.
Walker Cooper gets out of service. He says, and I said, what happens to me then? He said, well, we'll see. I said, no, I don't want that. I said, so I then, I came in late. No contract, no nothing. As soon as I walked in the ballpark, Mel gave me the release.
Oh, boy.
See?
And that was...
And then I had that tough to get home. Remember those war years?
Sure, yeah. Couldn't travel.
Just luckily, I found some people that had to cancel out going to Chicago. And I grabbed those tickets. My wife and I got to Chicago one week, and it was only an easy matter of getting home.
Now, what did you think was going to happen then?
And then I went home without a job, and the guy from the the owner of the Richmond Ball Club called me and asked me if I was interested in managing.
Oh, no kidding.
I hadn't given it a thought. Uh-huh. I said, geez, I had gone to Milwaukee and asked for a job, and I applied all over. Of course, then I was...
You wanted to stay in baseball.
Well, I had to have something right quick.
Yeah.
So, because my spring was gone.
Sure.
So, I says, yeah, this certain figure, we figured out how to go. So I went there, and I got fired as the year was over. But right at the end of August, so he was going to save $1,000 or whatever it was. But then I found out that was the kind of an operator he was, because he did it to Billy Herman, and he did it to the guy that managed Philadelphia for a while. Well, anyhow, I knew that I was tickled to death, because, God almighty, that was the most miserable year I ever put in my life, but it was always also the most experienced year I had in my life.
So it was good for you to get experience.
So what happened was, I had borrowed my sister's car. She had a nervous breakdown at that time, and I had my sister's car at Richmond. We didn't have cars. Remember, we had a difficult time.
Sure.
So we went into New York. I went to see the Coonies. We were very good friends, and John was a coach at Boston at that time. Mm-hmm. So I met Billy. We got chewing the fat and thing another. And then when I went back to Milwaukee, he recommended me, sort of to Milwaukee. I went back to Milwaukee for Nick Cullop, and then got a chance to come back. Phil Macy got hurt, so that cut him down to one catcher. So they thought about a catcher, and Johnny Cooney said, what about Ray to fill in? So they brought me back, and that was the start of my coaching.
Okay, that's wonderful.
That's
the way it works.
That's the way it works.
Yeah, like it was supposed to work out that
way. I hope so.
Yeah, that's...
But I didn't know so at the time.
Oh.
But you see, there was up and downs and disappointments and heartbreaks.
It's a very emotional thing. It's not like working at a factory. Yeah. I mean, you don't get emotional, but there you've got to.
Yeah.
When you look back at it, what was the highlight of your playing career?
Oh, God, Jesse, the highlight of my career was to have made it in spite of the fact that everybody says I couldn't.
Yeah, I can really understand it, because I used to play... Bunny Brief.
Yeah, remember? I know.
He used to manage the kids. I was one of those kids. I went 1-for-17 one year and struck out 13 times. So I can imagine how it feels to make it. You were a better hitter than me, right?
I could hit and run and bunt and sacrifice and do things like that, but I just could not drive the ball, especially if they kept it down on me. Where in the lower minors, a lot of the guys didn't get the jump that they got in the big leagues. The infielders weren't cut back as far to give that shortstop, for example, more range and better arms.
Sure. See? So they had to play in to make out for the deficit.
Yeah, a lot of times
that
ball would get by it. It didn't get by the second shortstop and the third baseman. And you take throughout the course of a season, how many times you might hit a ball through there, through the shortstop, how many times.
Sure. Especially with the range they've got.
And the parks being bigger, they'd pitch me high and let me hit that fly ball. It was just an easy out.
They didn't care.
No.
You know, I mentioned I was looking at the pitchers that you helped develop with the White Sox, and this is just a little list. Billy Pierce, Virgil Trux, Dick Donovan, Bob Shaw, Jerry Staley, Frank Baumann, Ray Herbert, Gary Peters, Juan Pizarro, Joe Horland, Tommy John.
Yeah.
Boy, those were some.
See Tommy John's picture?
Yeah, I saw that up there.
Well,
I mean, those are, and I remember that you got a lot of credit for that, right? You're a modest man, but you had, I mean, those are some.
Yeah. You know, if I had a, what would you say, a modicum of success, it was because I always went to the ballpark early. I loved to watch teams work out and this and that, and I'd see pitchers getting ready for their next game, or pitchers getting ready for batting practice, or pitchers getting their work in, so to speak.
Yeah.
See, and I'd see something and I'd say, gee, if I could only get them to do this, I think they could help me. Or help us.
Sure.
And a lot of the times when some of these names came up in the, when they asked on the waiver list.
Yeah.
And you probably pick them up for $10,000. I said, geez, I think we could gamble taking that guy. I said, I believe that if I could get him to go my way on this, he could help us. So lots of times they'd pick him up. It didn't always work out, but the percentage of times it worked out. Now, who would you have there?
Billy Pierce.
Billy Pierce. Of course, Billy Pierce was another guy that I was the first one that Lane picked up.
Yeah.
Billy Pierce was the first one that he had picked up.
From Detroit.
From Detroit.
That's right.
He sold traded an old catcher for him.
Aaron Robinson.
Aaron Robinson.
Yeah.
And Billy just kept improving as time went on and became one of the best left-handers in the league.
Sure.
And I take great pride in this. No one ever knew it. No writer ever knew it. But one year they were going to trade him, and I blocked the trade.
Is that right?
Where are you going to get a left-hander to replace him?
Yeah.
I says, what you're going to get is going to be a somebody that you don't know anything about. You know Billy. And I blocked that deal. Same thing happened with Dorish.
Terry Dorish.
Terry Dorish.
Yeah.
We had a meeting, and Lane, all the coaches were there, and we had, if anybody objected, the deal was off. Well, it came to Dorish, and Paul Richard said, well, I got a deal for him Lane said, well, I got a deal. I got him sold to Portland. All they have to do is Portland has to agree to the deal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'd keep him. You what? You know, Lane cuss. Why, you son of a bitch. What do you see in Dorish? And I can still see Doc Kramer and the other coaches and Paul laughing. And Paul says, yeah, I wonder what you see in him. I said, well, at this what? I said, he'd be my 10th pitcher, if nothing else. He said, well, why? I said, he's always ready. He stays in shape. He never bitches. Mm-hmm. He never gripes. He's always cooperative. If you ask him to mop up, he'll mop up. And if you ask him to go in a tight, he's ready. I said, he's got his glove where he can grab it and start right now. Serious as hell. I said, that's one reason why I like him. And as time went on, we taught him a pitch that made him the best relief pitcher that year in the big league. So now it came down to Nellie Fox. And Paul said, well, I've got him traded to Portland also. And I said, gee, you, Paul. I says, he says, what the hell can he do? He can't run, he can't throw, he can't make the double play. He says, he's a ping hitter.
Too small.
I said, but he hit, I think he hit 257, but he hit the strongest 257 of all. I says, his line drives record.
Yeah.
And Doc Kramer says, that's just it. He can't drive anybody back. They can bunch him. Well, anyhow, and I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll ask you to keep him through the end of spring training. If you don't like him by the end of spring training, I'll agree with you.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And he's eligible for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'll ever make it or not.
He might this next trip.
But again, there's those little things that you apparently, what did you see in him then that the other guys weren't seeing? Because they were veteran baseball
people
too.
Stick to evidence, determination, cooperative.
Is that right?
The only thing I said, if we can get him to get a base on balls occasionally, it would help. I said, because he swings at everything that comes up there at that time. see.
And he became a good leadoff man, didn't he?
Yeah, pretty much, and then hit behind the apparition,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And then we taught him how to bunt. I'll never forget, so many days after the end of the day, after pitching, batting practice, and working with those pitchers, I'd go out in the outfield and pitch to him, so he practiced that bunt. And the first 13 times he bunted, he had base hits.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So you own a couple of points of his batting average.
Well, you give me, no, but, I mean, that was one of the reasons I liked it.
Yeah.
And then...
Well, how about, you know, I remember Juan Pizarro.
Pizarro we got from Boston.
Yeah, because he was with the
I mean,
with the Braves.
Milwaukee.
And he
we got him
guy.
Because of his strong arm and everything.
But he really resurged with the White Sox.
He resurged,
yeah.
And it took a lot of doings and a lot of riding him, a lot of staying on him,
mm-hmm.
because he'd invariably go back to what was natural to him for all the years. You see, he arced his back.
Mm-hmm.
And the harder he threw, the more he arced his back, and then the higher the pitch would go.
Oh,
he was okay. He was high over the plate to high outside pitcher. And in the big leagues, those good right-hand hitters, after knowing them, drill you like hell into right field and right center, you'd be sending that guy all the time from first to third.
Maybe waiting on that pitch, too.
Sure.
Because they knew it was coming.
He didn't have that real good curveball.
Yeah.
His best pitch was his fastball. So I got him this way to throw. I'd have to be demonstrative, and I can't, man. Arthritis is good. And then, instead of getting back here to throw this way, I got him this way. And it took a long while for him to get used to it. And finally, one day, he did it in the bullpen, and he threw one, and I jumped out, and I said, "That's what I've been after you to do." He says, "Why didn't you tell me?" And he left. He says, "That's what you're trying to get me to do?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I can do that."
Oh,
I said, "Well, throw some more." And he threw some more, and geez, that ball was going down.
Is that right?
I said, "Throw it high, throw it down." He could move the ball around that way.
Yeah.
Rather than arcing his back and going in one spot. So I called Al, we're getting big. I said, "Al, this is a good time. You want to try Pizarro?" I said, "I think he's finally got what we've been after him to do." Jesus, he went in and had two real breezy innings. And he started the next start, had a start for him, went through real fine. Hell, I think, I don't know what he won for us, about 15 games.
Sure, yeah, in the late 60s, yeah.
And you're talking about Shaw. Mm-hmm. I happened to see him in Detroit one day, and warming up. He wasn't on the roster, really. I mean, he was warming up, and he wasn't going to be in the game. And they came out and told him that he was going to be sent to the minors. And I saw his live arm, but I didn't see the delivery that I liked. And finally, just mad as hell, he just took that last ball and just threw it. And I looked and I said, "Jesus." And when they got waivers on him, I said, "Let's claim him." Al says, "What the hell
are you doing?" Because now you remember that from before.
Yeah, I'd seen it.
Yeah.
See, I remember these things. I forget names, but I remember deliveries. And I said, "Geez," I said, "I saw something that I think he can help us with." So when we got him, I said, "So he's going to be tough to handle, you know, the kid." I said, "Well, I'll tell him. I'll tell him like I told Pizarro and all the rest of them. We got him for this reason and that reason. If he'll comply with what we recommend, we think he can be as much help to us as we can be to him." So he says, "I'll do anything but go back to the minor leagues."
Is that right?
And he practiced what we did to him. He walked down the street, Michigan Avenue, in the windows, you know, be practicing the shadow in the window. Yeah, until one day Lopez and I were riding to the park in the cab. We're going down